We continue along the series that we have been on, the bruised crest. And, you know, it sort of dawned on me that when you have a title like this, you can speak everything about the Bible. Because everything that we are is centered around the fact that we have the bruised crest. But we have examined that Jesus Christ was introduced to man as one who, among other things, is wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. But, you know, as we looked at Isaiah chapter 9, you know, we could probably easily have overlooked the fact that he is a Prince of Peace. And in that concept of Jesus Christ being introduced as a Prince of Peace, one of the things he's saying that he has a desire for us to be wholesome, that he has a desire for us to be one again. And so embedded in the bruised Christ is an effort by the Almighty God doing his part. You know, one of the last songs that we sang, I know the Lord will find a way for me. And I heard Brother Myrie, even as he introduced the song, you know, contextualized it and says that it is possibly better for us to have said that he will make or he has made a way for us. And indeed, in the bruised Christ, that is what we see happening with the Almighty God, that he made a way in the bruised Christ for us to be at one again with him. Truly, the Prince of Peace. We recognized as we moved on from the introduction of Jesus Christ that from the very outset, the very first time we see man sinning, that there was a recognition being brought to fore that in order for us to be at one again with the Almighty God, then we needed the bruised Christ. And we see that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The bruised Christ is what was needed to make us at one with God. And in that we would see the head of Satan being crushed while the heel of Christ being bruised. We examined the lives and the words and the actions of some of the old greats, such as Abraham, such as David, the messianic prophet Isaiah. And what we see over and over again is the importance of a sacrifice, pointing to what Jesus Christ would have to do as the bruised Christ to save us, to make us at one again with the Almighty God. Truly, a peace was being made. Last week, we highlighted that the bruised Christ was made a reality on the cross of Jesus Christ, fulfilling the prophecy and the actions of so many before him, where we are told that on the cross, Jesus Christ was bruised. And Isaiah, centuries before, demonstrating that Jesus Christ coming on the scene was no accident, was nothing that just happened along the way, but that it was all a part of God's eternal plan to save man. And so Isaiah, in Isaiah 53, mentioned some 12, one dozen different words, verbs that described what Jesus Christ was all about, being bruised, despised, rejected, smitten, afflicted, wounded, chastised, oppressed, slaughtered, cut off, stricken, grieved. Yes, Jesus Christ is the bruised Christ. We ended last week highlighting, and we will stay with this point possibly for the rest of this lesson, pointing out that the bruised Christ is the basis of our faith. Our faith, our belief system, that on which we rest our belief, is entrenched, is rooted, is grounded on the fact that we have a bruised Christ. And this bruised Christ, yes, he was bruised having been nailed to the cross. He was bruised having been humiliated on the cross, forsaken on the cross. Do we remember the imagery of even being spat upon while on the cross? But beyond that, brothers and sisters, beyond that, friend, on the cross of Jesus Christ, on that cross where he suffered and died, we see that he was pierced, and forthwith came blood and water. Yes, on the cross, Jesus Christ died. Him being bruised on the cross meant that he died. You know, this is sad, that our Savior suffered and died. He did that for us. He did that because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is sad that he suffered in the way he did. But if it ended there, then it would be for the Christians gloom, because we would have had a dead Savior. But as inspiration continues to guide us, we learn that though he died, though he was buried, he rose victorious over the grave. So we serve a Christ who is risen. And that becomes the base on which our Christianity and our faith rests. That our faith is not so much based on the fact that Christ died. Yes, he died. But more so that he lives. And it is in this context that we are in St. John chapter 20. It's in this context of Jesus Christ being the bruised Christ on the cross of Calvary that he did not stay dead, but that he is alive, resurrected, now ascended. We look forward to his grand return. But our faith is based on the bruised Christ and that he lives. And I know that if we have not yet embraced Christianity, then sometimes we are in a quandary. We wonder, is this thing for real? Is this whole thing about Jesus Christ being bruised just something that is a crutch in life? Something that gives us a feel good when things are happening around us? But what we want to show in this lesson, what we want to pull from the word of the Almighty God, is that Christ, him being the resurrected Christ, the bruised Christ being a Christ alive, is that all of that is tied up in the fact that he is not dead. It is not enough that Christ was bruised. It is significant that he lives. And in St. John chapter 20, and let's pick up at verse 19. St. John chapter 20. Pick up at verse 19 for me.
Then the same day at evening.
In the evening.
Being the first day of the week.
The first day of the week. You know, I'm so excited to talk more about the first day of the week. You know, I don't think we'll still get there today. But note that this first day of the week that Jesus came to his disciples. Well, read on. First day of the week.
When the doors were shut.
The doors were shut.
Where the disciples were assembled.
The disciples were assembled.
For fear of the Jews.
For the fear of the Jews.
Came Jesus.
Now, I want us to realize where we are in the spectrum of time. Where we are in that timeline. Jesus appearing to his disciples. This would have been after his death. After they would have witnessed his burial. After they would have observed, because the rulers of the land had heard talk that he would have been resurrected. And you know what they did? They not only buried him, but they rolled a big stone and they sealed that grave. They wanted to be sure that nobody could come and just roll the stone away. They sealed him. And it is after all this that the disciples were gathered together in fear of the Jews. Jesus came. You are there? Fear of the Jews.
Came Jesus. And stood in the midst. And Jesus said, Peace be unto you.
Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, the one with the mandate to make us whole again, to be at one again. He came in the midst of his disciples. Just picture their despair. They were following this man for years. He said he was the King of Kings, that he's the Lord of Lords, but now he's dead and buried. Can you just imagine how meaningless their lives may have seemed at that point? But Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, came and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Be at one again, because the bruised Christ has finished his task. I came to die for the sins of the world. Don't you remember reading through the annals of time and hearing God Almighty through his messenger saying, because of your sin, the heel of Christ would have to be bruised. And here it is that Jesus Christ on this Lord's Day, Jesus Christ on this day, representing the day that he rose victorious over the grave, was saying to them, Peace be unto you. Read on.
And when he had so said, He showed unto them
his hands. You see, we're among the things we want to recognize and to encourage us is to realize that Christianity is not just a fairy tale. Our Christianity should not just be based on the fact that from I was a little child, I was going to Sunday school. And I kept hearing about Jesus. Gentle Jesus. Meek and mild. And Jesus Christ is meek. And he's mild. But he's more than that. What we want to recognize is that we are serving a God who is powerful. We are serving a God who is king and ruler. But beyond that, brethren, what we believe, our faith, is based on evidence. Really? Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples. Despondent though they may have been, wondering what was now to become of us. The same way they have killed Jesus the Christ, will they be killing us too? But beyond that, where would be their hope? The king is gone, he's dead. Jesus Christ came to them, no dopey business. Jesus Christ came to his disciples. And what he did? And he showed them
his hands and his side.
He showed them his hands and his side. Evidence. Jesus Christ that they were looking at is the same Jesus Christ who died. He was able to show his hands. What had happened to his hands? In his hands were nailed. Like a 1-inch nail, you know. Somebody who owns a hardware tell us that there are many types of nails. And if we have somebody who has a first class hardware, they'll tell us that there are many types of nails. But the nail that went into it wasn't any Fenke Fenke nail. Wasn't a MAGA nail. It was a big hell of a nail. It is something like a nail when we have our tent meeting. A nail that in his hand. And Jesus Christ was able to present his hand. Said, this is evidence that this is me. He who was crucified, now alive, evidence. I can see, here's the print of the nails in my hands. Here is the evidence of the spear that went into my side. Jesus Christ would have showed evidence to his audience that he is truly alive, having died. Then were the disciples glad. You know, I can just imagine how sad they were. And I want to say to us that if we sojourn life without the hope of a Savior, risen, resurrected, now ascended, and will come back for us, then truly our lives are not where it ought to be. That we might be existing, that we may be going through life, but we are not truly having a real life until we have it with God as our King. And so it is that recognizing that Jesus Christ was truly alive, they transitioned from being sad to glad. And Christians, can I encourage us? Let us go through life with a disposition of happiness. Let us go through life with a disposition of being glad, because a grand thing has happened for us through Jesus Christ. Don't get lost in hopelessness. But let us be glad that Jesus Christ is a risen Savior, because this made a difference to the disciples. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord, when they saw the Lord alive. You know, when we get further down into the lesson, we are going to see that that's what a day like this represents. Every first day of the week, we are reminded of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so that should give us another push for another week to engage life in gladness and not in sadness. Because we get distracted with the things of life. We have to eat food. You know, we want something to wear. Illness hits us. Sometimes we lose our work. We have big exams. We thought we were ready for the exam and we fail. We thought we'd ace the exam and we barely got a C. And while we're there mourning about the C, another person said, "Boy, I wish I got a C." So life distracts us. But we should still have a focus on what the real essence of life. Because God created us. Not a big bang. Not an atom just developing and over time became a toad. And afterwards became a monkey. And afterwards became man. Not a big bang. And the world began. But we believe that we have a God that existed before time, that decided in his wisdom to create us and create the world and to sustain the world. We serve a God who is not only powerful and mighty to create and to sustain, but he loves. He's a God of mercy, a God of peace. Yeah. And here it is that in one of the saddest moments of the Christian era, a point in time when persons thought there was nothing, the evidence presented by Christ himself, evidence that he lives, gave them gladness, changed their state from sadness. Yes, our faith is based on the bruised Christ, the bruised Christ being alive. Can you just jump down to me, with me, to verse 25. Verse 25, still in St. John chapter 20. Verse 25.
The other disciples.
The other, well, step up. Go to 24.
But Thomas.
So picture the scene. Here it is that Jesus Christ appeared. That the good news of his resurrection was made known and manifest. But here we are told about a but. But Thomas.
One of the twelve. Called Didymus.
Was not with them when Jesus came
the other disciples.
No, pause there. On this first day of the week, when Jesus came to his disciples, the disciples were there, but one wasn't. And so it is that we are not all there at the same time. You know, it is good that on the Lord's Day we are all here. We ought to be here. And, you know, and that is why even in the middle of this restriction, we have exercised as much brain consideration as we can to ensure that as many of us as can come together on the Lord's Day, because we realize that it is not an ordinary day. It is a day that represents something significant. That's why we are here, to remember what he has done. But that's for my next week lesson. But here it is, brothers and sisters, friends, that Thomas was not there when Jesus Christ appeared. And that made a difference. But just note that we are not here because, well, we are not here in any show-off way, saying that we are Christians because we are extra special. It is just that we have been exposed ahead of others. And so those of us who are here, who have not yet embraced Christ as your Lord and Savior, who is still going through life as if Christ did not do something special by dying, being buried, and was resurrected for us, because you are still waiting for evidence, we are not showing off on you, because we were where you are too. We were once in a sad state. And it's for this reason why I will stand up here and I will sweat. Because I too want you to come to a glad state. Read on for me. You are at 24, you are going to 25 now.
The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord.
We have seen the Lord. But disciples, what type of foolishness is that? Haven't we all seen the Lord? Weren't we with him for years upon years? No. What they're saying is that we have seen the Lord since he was bruised. We have seen the Lord in his resurrected, alive state. We have seen the Lord. What they're saying is that it's not any dopey thing that we're talking about. It's not that we believe in ghosts. It's not that we're feeling so despondent that I start to hallucinate and I start to see things that are not there. They're saying that we have seen the Lord. We have embraced evidence that the Lord is alive. Alive and well. We have seen the Lord. Read on.
But he said unto them.
Read.
Except I shall see in his hand. The print of the nails.
And able to put my finger in that print.
And thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe.
You know, the striking thing here. Everything that he is asking for as evidence, had he been there, he would have had that experience. But he missed it. But he missed it. Thomas said, I will not believe, my faith will not change unless I see evidence for myself. Read on.
And after 8 days.
And after 8 days again.
His disciples were with
him. Stop. 8 days. Can we do the count? If it's the first day of the week, and after 8 days again, what is going to be the state? It's going to be the first day of the week again. You see how significant and important the first day of the week is? The disciples were gathered there. Don't miss out on worshiping God corporatively on the first day of the week. It is a special day. But here it is. After 8 days again, the disciples were within.
And Thomas with them.
And Thomas with them. Did I extend a warm welcome to our visitors? You may not have been here with us last week, but you are with us this week. We are happy that you are in our midst this week. So Thomas was with them. But though he was with them, he was not glad with them, because he had not yet had evidence for himself that there is truly a bruised Christ alive and well. Read on.
Then came Jesus.
Then came Jesus.
The doors being shut.
The doors being shut.
And stood in the midst.
And stood in the midst. And what did the Prince of Peace say?
Peace be unto you.
Peace be unto you. Don't forget how he was introduced. Among the things is that he's the Prince of Peace. He's come to make man whole again, because man by his action had displeased God. He was broken. But Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, is come to bring peace. And that peace is only going to come in a recognition that he is the bruised Christ, now alive. And he says, peace be unto you. Verse 27.
Then saith he to Thomas.
Then saith he to Thomas.
Reach hither.
He said to Thomas, evidence you want? Evidence I'll give to you. Reach hither and thy finger.
And behold my hands.
And behold my hands. Evidence.
And reach hither my
hand. And reach hither thy hand.
And thrust it into
and thrust it in my side. Evidence.
And be not faithless.
Be not faithless.
But believing.
Instead of being faithless, have faith. Instead of being faithless, believe. And what we are saying is that Thomas, now like the other disciples, had an encounter with the Lord Jesus. An encounter of evidence that he is alive. Bruised Christ, living Christ. And Thomas, we touched this last week. In 28, Thomas answered.
And said unto him,
my Lord.
And my God.
And my God. My Lord. And my God. You know, there's so much in that response. Beyond Jesus Christ being Lord, representing Master, and we his servants. Yes, he's that. beyond a master-servant relationship. He's saying that Jesus Christ, the bruised Christ, no, resurrected, he is God. Everything that Christ claimed in respect to deity, Thomas is saying, you are God. You are the mighty God, just as you were introduced. You know, among the things we said last week in respect to this was just how Thomas personalized this. It's not even that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not even just so much that Jesus Christ is God, but Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. He is my God. And so that's how we need to personalize our relationship with God. Don't get lost in the crowd. He's not just our God, our Lord. He's my God. He's my Lord. He's my master. I am his servant. Amen. That's real special. Amen. And I want you to also recognize how tied up and entangled belief and confession of Jesus Christ is. And, and that represents a part of our obedience of the gospel. Because having heard about Jesus Christ, we need to believe evidence. We need to confess that Jesus Christ is God. Yes, all of that is part of our obedience to him. But it didn't stop there. Read verse 29.
Jesus said unto him,
Thomas,
because thou hast seen me,
thou hast believed.
Blessed are they
that have not seen
and yet believe.
Is God saying, is Christ saying that the disciples are to base their belief on evidence, but we ought not to? Well, think about it. We don't have Jesus to touch anymore. Put our fingers in his hand. Put our hands in his side. Where are we going to get evidence? Well, let's read on.
And many other signs.
Truly did Jesus.
In the presence of his disciples. Which are not written in this book.
But these are written.
And there are things that are written.
There are miracles that Jesus Christ did that are written. Where are we? John? In the book of John alone, there are some 7 miracles that are documented, written. But he said, these are written. Why?
That ye might believe.
These are written that you might believe. There is something. Though we don't have Jesus' hands to touch, his sides to touch, we are given something that we can rely on to build our faith, to build our belief system, just as the disciples in that time. But these are written that he might believe. Read.
That Jesus is the Christ. The Son of God. And that believing
ye might have life.
Through his name.
I want us to realize that our belief system is based on evidence. We might not have it firsthand, but God in his wisdom made sure that he left it written so that we can develop belief and faith just as the disciples then would have done. Time will not allow me to indicate that among the gospel, there were some 30, over 30 miracles that were performed. Inspiration is saying to us, all of this have been written so that you can feast on that and develop your faith, and you have a responsibility to do so. You know, that faith that you are expected to develop, that belief system, is based on the faith of God. So you develop faith in Christ because of the faith of Christ. You know, Jude tells us that the faith has been delivered. That's the word of God. And so it is for us to read what has been written. Just as you have been hearing what has been written, delve into it. It might not take a day. It might not take a week. But allow the word of God to speak to you, because it will develop your faith. It goes to our intellect. It speaks to our mind. It's not pulling on just feelings, but it is evidence-based. I must stop here. But let me just highlight to us that even though you would have heard the good news about Jesus Christ, that he's here to make us one again, that having believed that he is Lord and King, God, if you confess him to be your God, then just make a change, like Thomas did. You notice the change he made? It was like a different person. So it is when you're and you obey the gospel, you are now a changed person. We call that repentance. Deciding now to go in a different direction. But you know a beautiful thing? And if you come back on, you know, later, another week in the lesson, we'll get into the fact that you can be crucified with Jesus Christ. You can experience his death, burial, and resurrection. And you know how that is done? In baptism. You go down and you come up. Death, burial, and resurrection. And you can do all that today because of the bruised Christ, on whom we have a faith, on whom our faith rests. Will you do that today? What's the song?